who have just recently made Jesus Lord, or maybe you're kind of new to the church and you'd like to go through this. It's a four-week class. It meets on Sunday mornings at 9:30 till 10:15 during the first service, so you can attend it and then go to the second service. Jerry will be in the Welcome Center after service, and if you'd like to talk to him about it, if you're a new believer, what we do is we like for people to go through that before we baptize them. So if you're needing to be baptized and you're a new believer, we'd like for you to go through that class, but see Jerry and he will tell you all about it. Let's talk a minute about August and September. We've got a couple events coming up. This is a life-giving church. We believe that Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly." And we try to find all ways and all means to reach all people that we can. We do Biker Sunday here. We do all kinds of kind of different things that a lot of other churches don't do, because we're trying to reach into our community and be a blessing to our community. We're trying to find ways to serve our community. But one of the things that we do is in August, right before school starts back, we do what we call Football Sunday. We invite the coaches and the teams from Batesville, Cave City, Southside, Cedar Ridge. We invite them to a service that we do, and we feed them after the service. Our main goal in this is to get the coaches here so that we can influence the men and the women who are influencing the kids. We invite the kids to come to wear their jerseys. We dress up. I wear my Pioneer. I'm a Pioneer, 1970 Pioneer, and back in the Stone Age. And get my wife. She's a Southside girl, and you know, everybody wears their colors, and I like to wear something Razorback too. Anybody like Razorbacks? This is a week we're at Razorback Church, I'm telling you. The first year we had, this is our fourth year to do it. The first year, our guest was Bull Bramlett, who played with the New York Jets. Played with the Jets, yeah. And one of the meanest men in football. And second year was Keith Jackson. Keith Jackson played for the University of Oklahoma. He went on to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. He is now the color commentator for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Last year we had Jeb Huckabee, who is from Harding Academy. He played linebacker for the Razorbacks. This year we have Rick Schaefer. Rick Schaefer was the athletic information director for the University of Arkansas. You hear him, if you listen to Razorback football or basketball, you'll hear Rick Schaefer. He is a wealth of knowledge on Razorbacks and Jesus, which is a pretty good, awesome combination. And so he'll be our speaker this year. And I'm announcing this because I want you to begin to pray about it, because we want God to touch people's lives. Joe and I will go out and we take oranges or popsicles, and we, when they're practicing, they get a break, we give them free popsicles and invite them to the service. So we're just trying to be a blessing to our community. In the month of September, on the 19th, we're doing something called Celebrate Freedom. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ will set you free from any kind of addiction, whether it be a chemical addiction, behavioral addiction, any kind of addiction that a person can have, that Jesus Christ can set you free. We have rented UACCB. We have invited two other churches to participate with us. We're going to invite all churches to attend, but I've invited two other pastors to participate with us. Our worship team is going to be there, and we're going to rock the house. And we're going to expose Batesville to some P&W, praise and worship. And we're going to really advertise this thing. John 3:16 will be there. They're going to serve free hamburgers and hot dogs. And they're going to serve it and cook it and the whole deal. Celebrate Recovery will be doing some testimonies. Somebody from John 3:16 will be giving a testimony, and somebody from Luke 4:18 will be giving a testimony. Alan Brown is going to be one of the speakers. Jeff Cox at First Assembly is going to be one of the speakers. And I'm going to be one of the speakers. And we're going to have an awesome night as we celebrate and expose this community the fact that we may have a drug problem, but we have an answer and a solution, and His name is Jesus. And that's what we're going to be doing. So I'm excited about that. And you begin to pray about it, and we'll probably have some opportunities, because we'll need greeters, prayer counselors, we'll need lots of stuff to get this job done. It's going to be a big one, but we're up to the task. Amen? Okay, I want to... I got to cook now. I went over in the first service, and I'm not going to try to do that in the second service. I have a tendency to get excited and get long-winded. Okay? So turn to your neighbor and say, pray for him, so he'll be short. Go with me this morning to... Oh, yeah, we want to show a video before we get started. I knew I forgot something.
What, me? Afraid? Of what? Of the dark? Of monsters lurking in the closet or under the bed? Of ghouls and goblins, of Hollywood's undead? Those are childish fears. They're good for a scare now and then, but I know they're make-believe. What am I really afraid of? I'm not afraid of much. I mean, everyone's afraid of some things. It's natural, right? The news can be pretty disconcerting. Earthquakes, floods, and hurricanes. Terrorist threats, oil prices, gas prices, mad cow disease. And now there's this avian bird flu. Sometimes it makes me feel like I should color code my anxiety level. I could carry a sign. Today's fear anxiety threat level is orange. Maybe I should stay home. But seriously, of course I live with some level of fear. It's normal. So what? Still, there's this nagging feeling I get, these thoughts. And those rare, quiet moments, those moments I work so hard to avoid. What if I'm not good enough? What if I lose my job? What if I keep it? What if I am still here in 5 years, still single, still, I don't know. What if I get divorced like my parents? Does anyone really love me? Does anyone really care? What if I fail? I mean really fail, like out on the streets, carrying a sign by the off-ramp, fail. That would definitely not be good. But why should I be afraid? I mean, how likely is it that I would end up destitute? And what good does worrying about it do? Am I afraid of myself? What if I do the wrong thing? Make the wrong choice? What if I pick the wrong girl? Job? What if I take the wrong chance? What if God doesn't approve of my decisions? What does God want me to do? What if I don't do what God wants? Will God punish me? Am I afraid of God? I really do struggle with fear. I don't want to be afraid. What does my fear cost me? What have I missed? What am I missing? Listen to me. I'm afraid of what I'm afraid of. God, why am I so afraid?
I did a Google search. Now, you can hear me? I did a Google search on fear the other day, and a thing popped up called phobia list. And I thought, maybe there's 20 or 30 phobias that people have. I think there were over 200 that's on the phobia list. Just the A phobias are like 30 or 40. There's just a ton of them. And you know, some of them are kind of weird. There's people who are afraid of clowns, puppets, Gravity. People are afraid of gravity. I think I'm afraid not to be of gravity. Peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. All kinds of fears. And those seem a little bit bizarre, but a lot of what this talked about here today are things that are pretty common to most people. This series that I'm doing, it's just a two-part series, comes out of God dealing with me about my fear. I have dealt with fear a whole lot in my lifetime. My greatest fear was inferiority complex. That is a fear. Fear of what people think about you. Fear of how you see yourself. You don't see yourself as good as someone else. Therefore, you don't assert yourself. You don't step through doors. You don't take advantage of opportunities. And that's fear. Dr. Caroline Leaf made the statement that every thought that we have comes from fear or faith. Fear and faith are total opposites. Fear or faith is believing what you can't see will come to pass. Fear is believing that what you can't see will come to pass. Did you know most of our fears never come to pass? They don't have to, because when it paralyzes us and keeps us from acting, it fulfills its purpose. It says in Revelation 4:11, it says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." The King James says, "For your pleasure they are created." God created everything in the universe. He created the universe. But the greatest thing that He created was mankind. The only thing that's ever been created in God's likeness and image is you and I. Everything else reflects God's image, reflects His glory, but we're the only thing that He chose that was produced to be like Him. We were made in His class. We were made in His image and in His likeness. And we were created for His pleasure. And that word pleasure means for His purpose. We believe and we know that every one of us was put on this earth for God's pleasure. You were not put in this earth for your pleasure. You were put here for God's pleasure. But you know, I found out that when we find out what our purpose is, and we begin to live and walk in God's purpose for us, that it gives us great pleasure and fulfillment. I don't believe that God is a fuddy-duddy. I don't believe that God's a party pooper. I believe the kingdom of God is the most awesome thing there is in the earth. I believe, I like what Tony Campolo said. He says, the kingdom of God is a party. Christians ought to be the biggest partiers there is. Now, I'm not talking about dope parties and that kind of, you have to, you know, in this crowd, you kind of really have to exemplify what you're talking. You got to make it plain. This, you know a neat thing about this church, what I like about it? There's not one perfect person here. Ooh, I like that. Now, we've had a few that thought they were. But they found out they weren't. And you don't have to be a perfect, fixed person to be a part of this church. You just need to be a person that's on a spiritual journey to find out what God's purpose for your life is. And it don't matter that when you come here that you're broke, because God's the only one that can fix us anyway. And if this was only for fixed, perfect people, there would be nobody here today. Not even me, because I'm not fixed. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a new creature in Him. I'm the righteousness of God in Him. But I still have areas of my life that need to be fixed, just like you. I deal with fear. God has dealt with me about this fear issue. And He wants me to get fear out of my life so that I can be all that I need to be for Him. And we need to get fear out of our lives so that we can be all that we need to be as a church body for the kingdom of God. We have only scratched the surface of what God wants to do with this church. And part of what we have to do is deal with the character issue of fear. Remember, I made the statement the other day that potential flows out of character, not knowledge. The character issue becomes your ceiling for potential. Now, I know a lot of people who know a lot of stuff, and I'm for knowing stuff. But it's not what you know that makes you, that releases your potential. It's what you do with what you know. It's what you do with what you know. There's a lot of Christians that are trying to get more knowledge when what they really need to do is start applying what they already know. And when you start applying what you already know, then God will open the door for your understanding to be increased. But until you get to, you start walking in what you know to walk in, guess what? You're gonna hit that ceiling because the character thing hasn't been dealt with. The character issue hasn't been dealt with. Character comes through understanding the Word, applying the Word. As you apply the Word of your God, it begins to chisel your character. Knowledge is important. Knowledge is an important thing. But unapplied knowledge does you very, very little good. It's what you know and apply. In fact, it talks about in the Word, it says that he that is a hearer of the Word and not a doer is like a man that looks at his face in a mirror and he goes away and he forgets what manner of man he is. In fact, it talks about him being self-deceived. But when you begin to look into the Word of God and you begin to become a doer, the Bible says that you come to the place that you are blessed in your deed. Why? Because the Word of God is the only thing that can change your heart. And every one of our hearts needs to be changed. And one of the greatest things that we deal with as Christians is our fears. You can think that you don't have fear, but I guarantee you the Holy Spirit can show you areas of your life where you still deal with fear. In fact, I believe that you will face fear as long as you live. I believe it was John Wayne, that great theologian, who says fear is getting up off the ground and getting back in the saddle. Facing fear, courage, is getting up off the ground and getting back in the saddle. It's not that you will never face fear, but listen, fear don't need to be in here. It needs to be out here. When fear gets in here, we have a problem. Because when fear is in here, faith is not. Amen? Okay, I want to give you some steps. And I don't like formulas because, you know, we try to package and sell formulas, do this thing, and it always works. No, these are five things, and there are other things that how to deal with fear. But I want to give you five simple steps to controlling fear and getting rid of fear. Let me read some scripture first real fast. Can I do that? I didn't get to everything I wanted to in the first service. Just listen for just a moment. I want to read some scripture. This is the perspective about fear. Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It talks about the believer walking through, even facing death, and you don't have to be fearful about doing that. Why? Because God is with us. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 27:1. Psalms 27:3 says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. Why? Because God is with us. There are more. It says in Luke 12:32, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear is our enemy. Fear, I want to make a distinction. Number, fear is not natural to man. Fear is common to man, but it is not natural to man. We were not created to fear. We were created to faith. Fear and faith are opposites. Adam, when he was created in the garden, he was fearless. He believed God. It's when he sinned that he ran from the presence of God because he was afraid. And here's what happens when we get in fear. We don't run to God, we run from God. We don't run to God's purposes, we run from God's purposes. So when a person has inferiority, guess what they do? They don't run to the purposes of God, they run from the purposes of God. Folks, we need to deal with fear so that we can give God pleasure through the purposes that He has for our lives. You cannot, can I say this? You cannot glorify God with fear. Therefore, you are going to have to deal with fear. Amen. All right, let me give you five steps real quick. I got 20 minutes. I got to talk fast. If I could turn up my voice and talk real fast, I'd do it. But I got to slow down so you can get it. Number one, here's the word. This is a crazy place to be sometimes. We got some characters here. I'm not one of them. Okay. Number one, recognize the fearful thought as a threat. Look at the first word, recognize. Any overcoming situation starts with recognition. Coming to a realization of something that's wrong. I think about AA. One of the first steps in AA is realizing that you have a problem, that you have an uncontrollable issue in your life. It's coming to that realization. There are Christian people who are eat up with fear and they don't even realize it. You know what? They are so defeated, they don't even know they have a problem. They know something's wrong, but they don't know what it is. They think that fear is natural. They think that they're supposed to fear. They think they're supposed to worry. They think they're supposed to fret. They think they're supposed to think that way. Because after all, it's natural. No, it's not natural. It's common, but it's not natural. We are not called to be natural. We're called to be supernatural. And we're not called to be common. We're called to a degree above that. We are not born again into a kingdom of fear. We are born again into a kingdom of faith. You know, and the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. If we'll learn the love walk, that God is love, and we begin to try to comprehend what all of that means, it's amazing how fear will be cast out of our lives. We say, well, Pastor, I'm going to come up this morning and I want you to cast fear out of me and so that I'll never fear again. You know, it don't work that way. It works as you begin to apply the Word of God in your life. See, we almost have a magical mindset sometimes. We want somebody to take the spiritual fairy wand, tap us on the head, knock us in the floor. We get up, problem in the floor, we get up, and we're all cured. It don't always work that way. Now, I've seen people be healed by the power of God. I've seen them instantly healed, and I've seen people instantly delivered of drugs by the power of God. It happens, I know, but that's not the normal way. The normal way is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. That means you take it, you put it on the inside of you, you begin to work it, and you're set free as you begin to walk in it. And this is what this is all about. But it begins with recognizing the fearful thought. How is it that the enemy attacks us? He attacks us through our thought life. If Satan can control your thoughts, he can control your mind. Did you know that Satan cannot read your mind? I had somebody ask me about that. I made that statement in the first service. They thought, see, most people have the idea, here's God, all power up here, and here's the devil just a step below him. That is not the way it is at all. No match. Our God and Satan, no match. Opposite ends. God could toast him in just a minute. Okay? That's another subject. But they're no match. God knows every thought, every intent. God knows everything. He knows everything in the past, every bit of knowledge, every bit of thing that's ever happened, that's happening right now, and that will ever happen in the future. Because God lives in the past, present, and future. God's everywhere. He knows everything. He's big. God's huge. Was it I said last week? Guy got up and preached, says, God is good. Then he said, God is big. Then he said, I'm glad I found out how good he is before I found out how big he was. God's big, but he's good. He's huge. There's nothing you can't get away from him. You can't, God can't be far away because he's everywhere at the same time. Dude, God's got it going. Satan doesn't have it. Now, his thing is deceit. He'll put a thought in your mind and then condemn you for thinking it. But he didn't read your mind. He just put the thought in your mind. He don't know what you're thinking, so don't tell him. Sometimes we just need to keep our blab mouth shut. Christians are real good at going, that's not tongues either. That's just blab. We open our mouth and we tell everything that we know, and we tell, God already knows, but that we tell the devil. Satan don't know what's going on. He's not that sharp. Okay? His thing is deceit. And he uses fear to paralyze people with. So when we begin to recognize the fearful thought as a threat, we use the illustration. If a rattlesnake gets in your home, can you imagine a rattlesnake getting loose at Luke 4:18? You know what Aaron's going to be doing while all of the girls are in the tree? Aaron is going to be finding that rattlesnake and getting it out of the home. We should treat fear exactly that way because it is a killer. Fear will paralyze you. It will kill you. It'll keep you from your purpose in God. Well, God, you know, God's big. He could overcome. No. Understand something, that God works through his word. God works by faith. When you're in fear, you're not in faith. So we got to deal with fear. We got to deal with the fear. So you have to recognize the fearful thought as a threat. Some of you here today have become so comfortable with your fear, and it has become such a part of your life that it controls you. And even the thought of getting out of that comfort zone paralyzes you. Listen, you've got to recognize that it's a threat. And you cannot glorify God by living in fear. Treat fear as a sin. Say that again. Treat fear as a sin. I'm going to make a statement that's going to offend some folks because it is. Fear is a sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And fear is sin. So we've all got stuff to work on. Okay, number two. Think of God's promise for the situation. When you recognize, I do a little sermon called Recognize, Resist, and Replace. Okay? When you recognize something, you're going to have to come against it, and then you're going to have to replace it with something. So the best thing that I know of, which is the only thing that I know of that'll change your heart, is God's promise. It's God's word. So think of God's promise for that situation. You say, well, I don't know the Bible that well. Thank God for Google. Get on there and Google it. Now be careful what you Google, because you can Google some bad stuff. But type in scriptures on fear, scriptures on intimidation, scriptures on inferiority. And you'll be surprised what you can Google and come up with. If you don't know how to use a concordance, most of us know how to Google. We Google stupid stuff sometimes. You can Google some scripture. And you can find out. Find out what the promise is for your situation. That's step two. Number three. Talk to God about your concerns. This is the time that as you begin to see what the promise is, that you begin to tell God your concern. It's okay. Sometimes I say, God, I don't understand you in this situation. It's okay to say that. You can say anything you want to God. You can express your concern. You think, well, won't he get mad at me if I say it? Well, duh, he already knows you think it. Talk to him about it. Man, he can read my mind. He knows your thought before you ever thought it. You know, things don't occur to God. Nothing ever slips up on God. Here you got the Trinity up there, and God says, you know what occurred to me? And Jesus says, no, what? That doesn't happen. God don't think like you and I do. See, we learn. God doesn't learn. If you know everything and are perfect, there's nothing for you to learn. We need to get to know this God that's a whole lot smarter than what we are. And when you realize that he lives in eternity, you know, I don't know what my future holds. God's already there. God's already there. It is secured. Well, I hope so. Get out of fear, dummy. Okay. I didn't say dummy, did I? Okay. Just that the shoe fits, wear it. So pray to God and tell him you're concerned. Talk to him about it. It's okay. After you express your concern to God and as you begin to apply the Scripture to your life, quit praying about it and start praising God for his promise. What you do, you talk to God, you pray about it, and then you praise. That's a sign of faith. If you keep asking God the same thing over and over and over and over and over, you didn't believe. You've got to believe. If I say, God, give me wisdom, the Bible says that he doesn't find fault and that he'll give it if you ask in faith. But if I go back and say, Lord, give me wisdom about this. Next day, Lord, give me wisdom about this. I didn't believe. I have to start thanking him for his promise. So we need to praise God for his promise to provide our needs. So I say, thank you, Father. Your word says that you've not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. I thank you, Father, today. I do not operate in fear because that is not my spirit. I have power and love, and I have a sound mind. Did you know a mind full of fear is not a sound mind? Because you won't think right when you're motivated by fear. So you got to praise God for his promise to provide your needs. Number five, this is where the rubber meets the road. You have to refuse to worry about it anymore. You have to make a decision that you're not going to worry about it anymore. When you worry, you don't trust. Yeah, but I'm just a worry wart. No, you're not. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you're a worry wart, then get saved. Become a new creature because your spirit is not a spirit of fear. It's power and love and a sound mind. That's what's been given you. But you're going to have to apply this to your life. You're going to have to come to the place, all right, Lord, I prayed about this, and I'm not worrying anymore. I'm praising you for the answer. So if it comes to your mind again, confess that you have given it over to God, then begin praising God that he heard your prayers. Because the Bible says that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. Is it a battle? Yes, it's a battle sometimes. But this is where you take the fight. When you have to recognize it, you have to resist it. This is where the resistance comes in, because it doesn't always give up overnight. But as you begin to take the land, as you begin to take the ground where this fear is concerned, you can come to the place where you defeat fear in your life. Five things that will help you with fear. Let me read a little bit more scripture. Let me just close with this one. I like this. 1 John 4:18. There's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. Who is love? God is love. Is there any fear in God? Does God have fear? No. And if we're in God, and he loves us, and we love him, there's no room for fear. Why? But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You want to be made perfect in love? Guess what? We have to overcome the fear. So what do? We recognize. Number two, we find the promise. Number three, we pray and commit it to God. Number four, we begin to praise God for the answer that we are overcomers. Number five, we refuse to be drawn back into the thing of worry again. And as we do that in this process, step by step, we'll begin to overcome the fear. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind.